Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the NPSL Soccer Show on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you my perspective on the National Premier Soccer League as we discuss with those owners of those clubs involved in the National Premier Soccer League. Welcome, everyone, to the very first episode. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you once again for joining me tonight. And for those of you that follow the league, welcome all of you to listen, whether you're listening right now live or you're listening to the archived show. Why did this happen? Why did all of a sudden I decided to do a standalone NPSL show? Well, it's really simple. We're going to go back, all the way back in January, where we, or shall I say I, was doing my first round draw review show for the 2020 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. As you know, I love the Open Cup. I enjoy the Open Cup. I think it's a fantastic tournament that every single club in every single division gets an opportunity to face each other and to knock off Goliath, because David has his soccer balls ready to knock out their opponent. And as we all know, MLS is the Goliath, but whoever is the next step in the next round is your Goliath while you play David. Now, I try to give all clubs in all leagues a fair opportunity to go out to discuss being in the first round of the Open Cup, can't wait to face their opponent, talk about their clubs at the same time, and then move on to the next guest. I had a club, one person from USL Second Division. I've had a club that was from the amateur leagues, and I had two clubs from the NPSL, Atlantic City FC, which was run by Andrew Wilgus, and, of course, the Denton Diablos, that is run by David Gopner. Now, before I continue on, condolences, of course, and hopefully things are going well with David Gopner's son. I understand he was in a very, very bad accident, and he had to go to the hospital a couple of weeks ago, and hopefully everything is well with him, for David's son. And once again, David, I'm sending you my condolences right now. Once again, hopefully your son is doing well and he's recovering nicely from the injury that he unfortunately suffered. But back to the show. I had on, once again, David Gokner from Denton Diablos, and of course, Andrew Wildgust from Atlantic City FC, and just to talk about their clubs, talk about being in the Open Cup, and talking about their opponents that they'll be facing in the first round. Well, the league itself was very excited, very happy that I had two of their clubs on the show representing their league. Gary Moody, of course, is the communications officer, the head communications officer of the NPSL, and then he emailed me, he thanked me, he was so excited and so happy that I was giving the NPSL a spotlight to shine on and to move forward. Look, I want to give every single club and every single league under U.S. Soccer's umbrella an opportunity to shine and to discuss, because once again, we all know Major League Soccer is the main league, the top dog league, but still, though, this is the American Soccer Show. American Soccer is not just MLS. American Soccer is all the leagues involved: USL Championship, USL League One, USL League Two, NISA, SL, the amateur leagues going forward. And then Mr. Moody all of a sudden says, would you like to be a media partner and join the NPSL? How could I say no? How could I say no to that request? Well, you know what? As most of you know, it is official. about a couple of days ago, last week, I announced on my Twitter that officially the For Your Scenes Fire American Soccer Show is a media partner back on February 7th with the MPSL. And let me just say, I am happy and excited that this show is connected with the National Premier Soccer League. And boy, oh boy, it's a wonderful thing to have. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of. And I am very, very excited that we are going to have a standalone show involving myself and the NPSL. And for those of you that are curious to know about the NPSL, the National Premier Soccer League, four regions, of course, within our great country: the West Region, the Midwest Region, the South Region, and the East Region. And there are, at least depending on how many conferences you have in each region, four conferences in the East. There are four conferences in the South. There are three conferences in the Midwest. And there are three conferences in the Midwest and three conferences in the West. Sometimes you'll have between five to seven to eight to ten clubs, depending on how many clubs we have in each conference. But still, though, it is a great thing to see. And, you know, you see some of these wonderful sides going, of course, going from a smaller league then moving up to a big league. Of course, AFC Mobile was in the, believe, the GPSL, and now they have moved up officially to the NPSL for this season. And, of course, Abram Chamberlain is the owner of AFC Mobile, unless he has sold it. And we've had some of these clubs participating in the U.S. Open Cup, of course, in the past. And I've had some of these club owners, head coaches, joining me during my Open Cup round review shows. And, of course, we can't forget, that fantastic, wild and wacky first round Duluth FC from the North Conference in the Midwest, and how they were able to score. Well, it was a 4-4 match through regulation and extra time, and then they win a wacky penalty kick shootout. And that, my friends, is why you want to bring in those types of teams, for that type of moment on these Open Cup review shows. Because why? Because you want to give these teams an opportunity. See if they're going to go on the road. See what they can do. What can they do going forward in this tournament? And, of course, last year, Orange County FC, the head coach, the Hall of Famer in the U.S. Soccer, in the National Soccer Hall of Fame, Paul Caligiuri, the head coach, he was on my show a couple of times reviewing his side and, of course, facing Eric Winalda, of all friends, for Paul Caligiuri over at Cashman Field in Las Vegas, Nevada, in that big Open Cup match, another cup set from from Paul Caligiuri to Soccer Hall of Famers, with, of course, him and Eric Winalda going at it. You know, so many things going on, so many wonderful moments involving the NPSL. And, of course, with the last 2 years, with Miami FC winning the NPSL championship, of course, defeating FC Motown in 2018, then defeating the New York Cosmos B in 2019, and then all of a sudden now, they are no longer in the NPSL. They had their time. But still, though, being over at Drew University in Madison, New Jersey, to watch that final being played, and it was a great final between Miami FC and FC Motown. Of course, FC Motown is Morristown, New Jersey. Just to watch that match happen and that final happen, it was an absolutely fantastic thing to see. I was so thrilled to be there. My first ever MPSL match. Obviously, it's the championship final. Why not the championship final? It was great. It was wonderful. And like I said already, meeting Gary Moody, of course, and it's a situation where, once again, how could I say no? to become a media partner for the NPSL. So I'm very happy to be here. I'm very, very happy to have this show with the NPSL. And, of course, you know, to talk about these great, great clubs that are part of this league, and hopefully bigger, better, brighter things do come around. And, you know, look, I could have had them, you know, the NPSL on a regular show on every Monday night. But you know what? No. No. If you're going to do a show like this, you're going to have to do it the right way. You have to do it the right way. And you know what? Better to have a standalone show that everyone can be proud of, that everyone can discuss, and that we can get move forward, move on, and just have some fun with this. Why? Very simply put, I'll tell you why. Because the NPSL is one of those leagues that I believe gives these opportunities to these clubs. It's in a lower level league, we understand, but still though, it may be a lower level league, but the truth is that there's so many high standards going forward. Not to say the other leagues do not, but at least you can watch and you can see how these clubs do perform, you know, at a high level, higher level attacking soccer that goes forward. They are all great players, great clubs, and I cannot wait to have some fun tonight with, of course, the three clubs that I will have on tonight that represent the Southwest Conference in the West region. Nine clubs represent this conference. I mean, you know, AS Los Angeles, ASC San Diego, FC Golden State. You also have High Desert Elite. You have Oxnard Guerreros FC, Las Vegas Legends FC, and great shield, by the way. Of course, it looks like members of the Rat Pack in front of, in silhouette mode, you might say, in front of Las Vegas, the city itself. And to see, you know, wonderful other clubs with great logos, shields, I should say, going forward, obviously. The one I do like, and I must admit that in the Midwest, in the South region, in the Lone Star Conference, you know, Denton Diablos, you love the face. You love that little, you know, wacky little face there that means business. You're going to try and beat us? We dare you. We dare you to beat us, and we're going to go after you hard, and we're going to go after you really, really hard, and they're going to go after you hard some more. That's what I like to see. I like to see some, you know, inventiveness, ingenuity when you are designing these club crests. And, of course, Atlantic City, why not an ace? You have an ace in the hole. It's a situation, once again, where these clubs deserve a voice. These clubs do deserve to go out and have their time in the spotlight. And why not? Why not? It's not just about the Open Cup. It's about the league itself. And I am excited, as I've said before, I'm excited to get this thing going. I'm excited to get this thing rolling. And once again, I am very excited and happy to be an official media partner with the National Premier Soccer League. So once again, to Gary Moody, Head Communications Officer of the league, thank you so much for contacting me. Also, thank you for your excitedness and your enthusiasm to have this show become a media partner for the league. I'm very excited to get going. I'm very excited to start it off tonight. And once again, we're going to have some fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. And, you know, let's get it on, baby. Let's get it on. Let's have some fun. And let us make sure that we are going to enjoy ourselves as much as I hope that the clubs that are going to be my guests, that they will have some fun as well. And, you know, we're going to have some fun, and why not? Let's go for it. Let's go for it now. And let's have some fun here on the show. Tonight, three clubs will be represented. It will be FC Arizona. It will be Club Xolos USA Under-23s. And right about now, hopefully, Temecula FC, as we're going to get started right now on the show as we prepare for a big, big, fun time. And here we go now. Hope to get on Mr. Brandon Jantz, who is the head coach of Temecula FC. And as we get ready to talk about this club, we'll hopefully we'll have him on going forward as we go ahead and dial it up and let's see what happens. So we bring him on. Moving forward, let's once again, it's a fun time.
Phone number, and we'll return your call. Thank you.
Nope, that's not it. So we're waiting for Mr. Brandon Jantz to call in to be a part of this. And once again, Temecula going forward here. And, you know, once again, Temecula FC was established in 2013. They have tried to be a part of the big community over in the Temecula region. Now joining us right
Hello?
Now, Brandon Jantz from Temecula FC, the owner of Temecula FC. Brandon, welcome to the show. Thank you for being the very first guest for this NPSL soccer show, and how are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm good. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Glad to be on.
Wonderful. Thank you for being on. Your club's been around since 2013. When was it your dream and your idea to bring this club into to the Temecula region, and how much of a positive response have you had since then?
I've always, ever since I was a kid, wanted the team here. But more so when I was living and playing over in England, I would say, you know, being around that culture, being around the football clubs, whether they're, you know, Premier League or they're non-league, it was always something that I wanted in my local area. Excitement-wise, I think from the players' aspect of it, there's a lot of excitement. But I think we have a long way to go in our country in terms of, you know, real community support, understanding, you know, really what a soccer culture, football culture is. And so that's a work in progress.
It absolutely is. And, you know, once again, you got to give them the opportunity to feel around and then, you know, by word of mouth to get all the juices flowing and get this club going. You used to play professionally in England. Where did you play in England?
Well, I went over originally. Some scouts from the Newcastle area scouted me when I was playing out in Boston and asked me to come over. I went originally on trial with Scunthorpe. I got a game in against Middlesbrough back when they were in the Premier League. And then we started talking about work permit issues or potential issues. And it kind of stalled out there. But the people that brought me over asked if I would continue to stay, if I would play non-league with them because I could get international clearance for that, and if I would start doing my coaching over there. And they were great people. They housed me. I played non-league football with Bohemian, Swarland Football Club, Amble Football Club, and started coaching. Got my Scottish coaching licenses up in Edinburgh and would fly back and forth from the East Coast over to Newcastle off and on for a couple years.
How did you find yourself on the West Coast? Because like you said, you're coming from Boston. Are you originally from the East Coast? Or did
I
you
was originally
find your...
from here.
Mm-hmm.
I was originally from here, but a friend of mine that I played with growing up club soccer was signing professionally out in Boston. And I reached out to Steve Nichol to see if I could get back, if I could go out there and play. I had just returned from England and I played one season in the A-League out here in Orange County. He said, yeah, come on out. And so I just packed up all my stuff on a whim, drove out there and played a couple of years out there in Boston.
So you were able to play with Steve Nichol when MLS was around, or
yeah.
That was too late? That was
no, so this is Steve Nichol was playing at Boston Bulldogs. So Steve was still a player manager at the time, so he was our coach as well as played center back for us. And he, after Boston folded and didn't return back to USL, Steve then became manager at New England Revolution.
So how was it to be managed by a Liverpool legend like Steve Nichol?
It was great. It's funny, as on the field we butted heads completely, I would say. But off the field, we still talk probably at least once a month. So I say it's great. I think, you know, you learn so much how simple the game really is. I think people in the U.S. complicate everything a lot. And, you know, he would tell us great stories about Liverpool. And that's back when Liverpool was very dominant and they won the league all the time. And they went in the Champions League and, European Cup back then. And, you know, a lot of people can learn a lot from how simple the game really is. We just complicate it too much. But great guy, excellent player, fun guy in the locker room.
Now, I have to ask you about your club. You had a co-owner originally in Vince. Now, if I butcher his name, you can let me know. Passione?
Yeah. Passione. Passione, yeah.
Passione, yeah. So what was it like to work with him to begin Temecula FC over where you are right now?
It was great. So when I returned from England, I started coaching youth soccer here in the area because that's all there was. I didn't like it. I'm not going to lie. It was, you know, it's not about player development. It's not about community. It's just kind of about money and winning tournaments. And, you know, so after bouncing around a few times, Vince and me played together growing up. He played in college, and he actually had an offer to play over in France, but hurt his ankle really bad, so he stopped playing. So he's a great player. He's a great person. So I reached out to him, asked him if he would meet with me because I was done really coaching youth soccer. I was burned out, and asked him if he'd be interested in starting, you know, an MPSL team in Temecula, and he loved the idea. And we just we met in a Starbucks and we made it happen, you know, kind of that night, just decided we're going to go forward with it. And so we did.
And how has Temecula been in the community so far? Because it sounds like it's been a great startup and it's been going strong for these last 6 to 7. Well, we haven't had the season start yet this year in 2020, but at least the last 6 years, it sounds 6 or 7 years. It sounds like it's been going strong for you guys.
Yeah, I think in many ways you're right. I think in many ways we have one of the best club cultures in our conference. We get great support for being in Southern California, and our supporters group is extremely loud and very involved. Which, you know, whether there's 5 there or whether there's 20 there, they're very good. They bring the smoke, they bring the flags, the drums, and they're very involved, which is something that adds to that culture that we're trying to bring to this area. In terms of the rest of the community, it's really just something that we work on day to day. I mean, I work 18 hours a day pretty much on this club. It never ends every single day, just trying to, you know, share my passion for the game and what we feel is needed in this country to grow the game.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And God keep on growing. God keep showing that passion going forward, and definitely, you know, especially on the West Coast, where, you know, how many players play up and down California, up and down the West Coast. I mean, you know, there's probably a plethora of talent that you probably have to scout and, you know, give an opportunity, whether it's be through the colleges or, I guess, the local AYSOs. I mean, how many players do you get to try out for Temecula that want to give you know, your club a shot?
That's a difficult one, and I can't speak for a lot of other clubs at this level, MPSL, but we go through a lot. In all honesty, we probably go through 60 to 70 players every single year, and I think it is because you do have a lot of talent that either moves to California, Southern California, whether that's after college, during college. Whether they're just moving from out of the country, and they want to give it a go to play, and they have a tough time with the standard, because the MPSL, the level of the MPSL is extremely high. I mean, you have former professional players, players on, you know, I don't want to say they're on professional contracts, but $0 professional contracts. So they're not professional, but they're tied up by the clubs. And it's a very, very high standard, and they have a tough time with it. I mean, so I say we go through a lot, and then our area is very, very difficult. If anybody knows where Temecula is, it's in between L.A. and San Diego. So players the age of 18 to, say, 26 to even up to 30 that are a high-level player, a lot of them don't live in this area. So we're going to get from San Diego, L.A., Orange County, having to commute in and try to make a go at it. And but this top talent, I mean, it's just we don't have in our country, you know, a proper club in every city that can house players, pay players, keep them playing 4 or 5 days a week in training and then matches on the weekend. And that's our goal, to try to get to that.
And that's a fantastic goal to have, of course. Now talk about your crest, your shield. Obviously, it's a bird on top of a football. What type of bird is it? And as I understand it, this is the California state bird. What is the California state bird?
Yeah, the California quail. So when we started the club, me and Vince talking about something, you know, that was different and separate from everything else, and, you know, everybody uses, you know, big predator type animals, whether it's like eagles or bears or lions, whatever it is. And, you know, quails are pretty prominent in this area. There's been a lot of development, so they're a little bit more on the outskirts. But when we grew up here, me and Vince grew up here, there's only 13,000 people living here, not the 120 there is now. And there was quail all over the place. And they were great. They work together. They're a ground animal. And it's something we thought would be very distinctive on our crest.
How competitive is this region? I mean, we know there's a lot of solid, fantastic clubs all over the league, but in this particular conference that Temecula is in, how competitive is this conference?
You know, I think it's extremely competitive. Unfortunately, we don't get to see, you know, all the other markets on a weekly, monthly, or even yearly, you know, basis in terms of what's going on the East Coast, what's going on in the Midwest. So we can only really judge, you know, the talent by our conference. But, you know, having played professionally in this country, I think it's high. I think, you know, a lot of these players in our league at any of the given teams have either played professional before or they've had stints at, you know, D1 schools. And they're just a little bit of ways away. And it's probably just comes down to not their ability, but their professionalism off the field, you know, how they maintain themselves, how they approach, you know, their task of being a player. So I say it's very high.
No, I believe it is. I mean, you know, you want to make sure you get these players that have the ability to go out there and try and get their minutes in, obviously. And, you know, why not play at a high level? Of course, we all know the highest level is in this country, but still nothing to sneeze at with the MPSL. Got some good players as well coming in, and hopefully we'll get to see some more coming through. Your season starts when, and who's your first opponent?
This Saturday, February 22nd, and we have FC Arizona coming in, so it's a massive task, to be honest with you. They made the playoffs every year, and we haven't ever. So it's a big task. They guys always have a lot of quality in their team, very professionally run. And so it's going to be difficult for us, but we've got the strongest team we've ever had. It's just about if they can put it together on the pitch and get a result.
And of course, you're hoping for that Open Cup berth for 2021, aren't you?
That'd be wonderful. It'd be amazing. It'd be amazing history for our club. It'd be great for our community.
Absolutely. Brandon, thank you for your time. I truly appreciate it. Good luck this season. And hopefully we can see Temecula get an opportunity to play in that Open Cup next season. Have a good night, and thank you again, sir.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Brandon Jantz, owner of Temecula FC, going forward. And it's just wonderful to see that happen. And, you know, once again, this is a very difficult league, and This is a difficult region and conference, so we'll see what goes on. Join me right now. This gentleman is running the Club Tijuana USA side, but they're under 23s. And this is Rob Lopez. He is the executive director of Club Zolo's under 23s. Rob, welcome, and how are you tonight?
Hi, Daniel. How are you? Thank you so much for the invite. I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you very much. First of all, can't wait for the season to get underway. It starts very soon. And how excited are you for this 2020 season to begin for your side?
You know what? We're very excited. We have the opportunity to be in Southern California where there's so much talent. I think Brandon was mentioning it. And we're just so looking forward to this 2020 season.
No, I bet you are. Now, I have to ask, I can't wait. I have to ask you this question, obviously. As we all know, the first, I would say, Liga MX side was Guadalajara, Chivas of Guadalajara. They tried to bring in their own brand into Major League Soccer many, many years ago. It didn't really last that long. And we all know how popular Club Club Tijuana is in Southern California. Of course, you have a lot of American soccer fans that watch Liga MX in their homes, and you're not far away from Club Tijuana. At the same time, the border is not far away in Southern California. How has this brand been, I would say, maybe a little bit more successful than what Guadalajara tried to do?
Well, you know what? We are just getting started. We, as a U23, we're obviously a satellite program for Cholos de Tijuana here in Southern California, mm-hmm. working with young talent, finding local talent. Having the opportunity to just drive to the border an hour in 30 minutes, it's such a great blessing because we're able to take the talent into the stadium immediately. And so that's created some excitement in our community, in our area. So we look forward to doing a great job. Now, we are not MLS like, you know, Chivas USA.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're much, much lower, as you know. And I think there's such a great desire for that opportunity to be seen in Southern California. There's a lot of talent. So we have the opportunity to, you know, find the talent, develop the talent, have it play in the NPSL, sharpen their skills, and when they're ready, take a 2-hour drive, you know, into Tijuana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And like you mentioned, there's a lot of there's a lot of fans from Cholos de Tijuana that do live out here in Southern California, and they drive. There's thousands of fans that cross the border just to go see the. And so we are excited to be able to have something more local, you know, on an amateur level, and just for the Southern California fans to see these young prospects, you know, grow and then be tossed into the pro leagues.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, why not? Like I've said to Brandon, of course, a lot of talented players are in California, especially in Southern California. A lot of families that, you know, from Mexico immigrated to the United States, they set up, you know, how they want to, you know, support themselves, provide for their children. And, of course, football is one of those things that they hope to be a part of, especially whether it be in MLS or within the Liga MX side. And have you ever had, I mean, like you said, you're just getting started and everything, but has there been, like, you know, club legends for Club Tijuana, for the Zolos, to visit with these kids to say that, you know, your parents, you know, they're supporters of this club. If you wish to play for this club, you know, here is an outlet for you here in the States and maybe bring you over to play for the top team someday.
Correct. We do have a lot of local families that are related to some of the pro players, legend pro players that played for Tijuana. And, you know, Arcel, who's one of the directors now for Cholos de Tijuana, his family is just a few blocks away from where we're at. And so he's so excited to see this program grow because it's literally in his backyard. And we look forward to, you know, building these relationships with the families. We've had the privilege of taking 20 kids already in November to Tijuana so that they could get looked at by the director of Fuerzas Básicas, El Profe Rubalcaba. So we're excited. There's a lot of great things happening. We are definitely working hard. We have a great relationship with our community, our city officials, great community leaders. Our mayor has been to our games multiple times. We have a great relationship with the council members who know who we are, and they just want to support this program and see it grow. So on the pitch and off the pitch, we're getting a lot of support.
And it's great to hear you're getting local support. It's wonderful. That's what we all hope for, that to have these kids, you know, and the club as well, to be recognized by the community and, of course, for the community too. How long have you been with – are you officially been with Club Tijuana from Mexico, or have you just recently joined them to be a part of this wonderful movement?
We recently joined Cholos de Tijuana. So a little bit of our background. I was born into a club team named Coras, so Riverside Coras. And that team, just going back to what you mentioned earlier about, you know, Mexican families immigrating to Southern California, well, that was my parents in 1966. And so my dad and my uncles, they immigrated after a short pro career, one of them for Chivas. And so after a short career, they decided to immigrate and come out to, you know, Southern California. And then by 1966, 65, they got here at 65. By 1966, 67, they decided to play soccer. And they formed Coras de Los Angeles, which was affiliated to Coras de Pit, a pro team in Mexico. And so my family ran that club for 50 years. I grew in that club. I had the honor to run the club. And then the last couple of years, we started building a strong relationship with Cholos de Tijuana. And it was a relationship that grew on the pitch and then went outside the pitch. They liked what we were doing in our community, in our city here in Riverside. And they reached out and we had a great conversation about being part of their umbrella and having them just oversee what we're doing out here, because they've longed to have a satellite program in Southern California.
Yeah, and once again, Southern California, you know, tons of talented players, no matter where they are, where they come from, you know, playing with such a, you know, good club. And of course, we know Club Tijuana, the Cholos have been one of those top sides. And the funny thing is, you know, I cover the New York Red Bulls of Major League Soccer, and seeing the Estadio Caliente through television, the Red Bulls do their own little videography wherever they go on their road trips and stuff, and, you know, being in the CONCACAF Champions League, I have to tell you, that stadium is such a breathtaking thing to see. I enjoy everything about seeing that stadium. And very strange that I've never seen this before, that it has its own church as well. Have you seen that before? Like in some of these clubs or these football grounds in Mexico, that they have their own church to pray before a match, I guess?
That is correct. I've been there. I've seen it, and it's part of the lifestyle. Play soccer, you thank God before walking onto the pitch, and you thank God on your way, you know, home right after the game. So that's very part of the lifestyle and culture in Mexico. And so that is true. I've seen it, and we have one. So.
Do you have one at your stadium as well?
No, not... We're a little different. We're like kind of like the Mexican American culture, and we're the second, third, fourth generation you know, Mexican Americans in Southern California, and I say that I say that for myself and my family, but that's kind of like our market niche, our niche, where we're dealing with families who have been here for a couple of generations who still love soccer because their grandpa was playing soccer and they were born into AYSO, and they started playing club,
mm-hmm.
college, and they want to keep going. So that's pretty much our market. And we're pretty
just
excited
want to ask
about
you
it.
This question. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I apologize. I thought you were finished, but I wanted to ask you this question. You know, as I've asked Brandon, you know, the Southwest Conference, it sounds like it's very, very competitive. You know, great talented players that everyone acquires. And if I can ask you this, is there a rival for the Cholos when it's in the Southwestern Conference? May I ask, maybe the Oxnard Guerreros, are they a big rival of this club since it's been brought up?
You know, being here in Riverside, in the city of Riverside, well, we're in the Riverside County, and we share the same county with Temecula. So Temecula Cuellos, we've had a strong rivalry. And when we were Riverside Coras, our fans just loved to make fun of them, and it went both ways. And so I don't see it being different, being Cholos representing our city of Riverside. I think the rivalry is going to continue and maybe even pick up a few notches because we know we have Cholo fans all over Southern California. So we plan on continuing that little love-hate relationship with Brandon and the Temecula Quails. Brandon and I are good friends. We'll have a beer after a match. But our fans, they go at it. They have no love for each other, and that's great. That's community soccer. In regards to Oxnard, we do have an academy, a Cholos Youth Academy out of Oxnard, and it's our second biggest academy in Southern California. And so we plan on inviting them to attend that Oxnard game when we go to that game. And so yeah, we're going to bring our crowd, we're going to bring our noise, and hopefully make that away game a home game for us. So I look forward to taking over that stadium. Yeah.
How successful do you think this program is going to be? Will the senior side actually pick a player from your satellite club in the under-23s and have them start and feature for the Cholos in Tijuana itself at the Caliente?
Okay, I'm going to be a little brave. I'm going to say that when the next
sure.
year, they will sign two of our players. Okay, they
Ooh.
Will take two of our players in the next year. I don't think they will immediately make an impact with the first team.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
they would be gaining experience in their lower tier division, their second division
mm-hmm.
team. And plus, they also own a second division, the Dorados de Sinaloa, and they play second division. So I think they will take players from Southern California, but then move them around so that they could gain experience before they jump into the first division. And I'm pretty excited about that. So,
oh, of course.
There is
please.
A lot of talent out here. Look, you follow the MLS, and I'm sure you've been doing it for a long time, Daniel, but we're looking for the next Joe Corona out of Southern California,
mm-hmm.
i.e. area, San Diego area, the next Paul Areola, you know, from Northern San Diego out here in our area. So there's a lot of talent, and Cholos has been great to the Southern California players, so much that the U.S. national team has benefited from that development. So it's soccer's beautiful.
Yes, it is. It's the greatest game in the world, no doubt about it. Rob, thank you very much for being on tonight. Continued success for your club here in the MPSL. Good luck with the season, and I hope to have you on again soon. And
thank
hopefully,
you, Daniel.
Who knows? Maybe they'll be in the Open Cup sometime soon. And have a good night.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you for your invite.
You're welcome. Rob Lopez running the Club Cholos under 23 in Southern California as we go ahead and have some fun here going on here on the show. And finally, as we go ahead and talk more here on the show, we're going to have hopefully on from FC Arizona, Mr. Dave Rogers. He is the head coach and the first team manager for FC Arizona as we get ready to talk about his club and, you know, once again, FC Arizona as we go forward here. Another club in the Southwest Conference going forward. And hopefully we'll see what they can do and the type of roster that they have. As we wait for Mr. Rogers to give a call and see what's going to happen. And, you know, once again, FC Arizona, a club that is very strong in this conference going forward. And, you know, we'll just have to hope and see what will happen here. Now, once again, we'll just have to wait for him to give a call and come on. But once again, it's a situation where it's a lot of fun to have you know, all these clubs coming in. But once again, Mr. Rogers has a UEFA Pro license and a UEFA A license as well as a B license from, you know, learning on the job. He's also from the Irish Youth. He has an FAI Youth Certificate, so he has taught youth players already. As we continue on here and moving forward, and as we are waiting for his phone call, once again, the MPSL is a, you know, it's a league that I love keeping an eye on. And going forward, and once again, situation where we're going to have some fun this year, and hopefully to talk to these other clubs going forward in all the different regions. Once again, it's a lot of fun, and you know, very happy to have these clubs. Oh, pardon me. To be a part of this show, and why not? You know, great clubs going forward, great clubs being around, and, you know, some of them, of course, I love some of their crests and some of the history. I mean, we all know about, you know, the owner of FC Buffalo, of course, creating the club, and, of course, there's also Rochester Lancers that were originally in the original North American Soccer League back in the day. And, of course, they've come back as a professional club, in, or should I say as a club in the MPSL. So it's just wonderful to watch and grow and see what's going to happen with some of these clubs. And, of course, if I've said as well, Morristown, New Jersey, FC Morristown, they are you know, not far from where I live here in the in western New Jersey, northwestern New Jersey, I should say. They're not far away from where I am and everything, and going forward. And it's a fun time to be over there and everything. And, you know, you just have to go out and just got to have some fun with this stuff. Now, for those of you awaiting the first round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, here are your clubs from the NPSL that will be participating in the first round. And, of course, it's not in alphabetical order, but still, though, very happy for these teams that have qualified through the 2019 NPSL playoffs as they were able to advance. Of course, Miami FC now not in the NPSL, but their spot was now being held as they moved to NISA and then, again, USL Championship after buying out Ottawa Fury's spot. But once again, those sides are Tulsa Athletic, FC Motown, Morristown, New Jersey, ASC San Diego, Cleveland SC, Naples United FC, of course, FC Arizona. We are waiting for Mr. Dave Rogers to join us, Minneapolis City SC, Atlantic City FC, the Denton Diablos, excuse me, FC Davis, Med City FC, Crossfire Redmond, West Chester United SC, and Fort Worth Vaqueros. Now, why did I say it like that? It's really simple. Being from New York, there is Westchester County, and that's one whole word. So that's why I would rather do it separately, because it's in Pennsylvania, because I'm from New York, and I don't want to confuse people, because Westchester County, that's one whole word. If I do Westchester United, at least I know it's from Pennsylvania. So it's just one of those things, once again, where you just have to say that you don't want any confusion going forward here. But once again, as we get ready to have some fun here, joining me right now is Mr. Dave Rogers. He is the first team manager and the head coach of FC Arizona. Dave, welcome to the show, and thank you for your time, sir.
Daniel, thank you very much. Apologies for the delay with the call. Finally, through to yourselves, and it's a pleasure and an honor for me to be live this evening.
And it's wonderful to have you on as well. Where do you normally reside? Where are you originally from? I believe you're from the United Kingdom. Where are you originally from, sir?
I am. I'm originally from the city of London. Don't expect me to start singing Beatles, because my voice isn't up to their standards. born and bred, Daniel, in the city of Liverpool, a fantastic working class city. Brought up with morals and integrity and, you know, real humbleness and a love for people. And, you know, on the back end of being surrounded by two of the most famous teams in the world, being Everton and Liverpool.
And, of course, Liverpool's having an amazing season in the Premier League, obviously. And who knows if anyone – well, I know they got stopped in the FA Cup, but still, though, we don't know if they'll ever be stopped in the Premier League this year, but we'll see what happens. Going to this club, why was coming to Arizona in the United States such a tempting desire for you to have a program there, and why in the NPSL?
Yeah, I first of all, it's been an honour for me. I've been lucky enough over the last 6 or 7 years since I've been playing as a professional soccer player myself to become the Liverpool Football International. What I believe are the biggest soccer club in the world, the biggest soccer family. So knowledge and experience that I learned working with top people on a daily basis all around the world, and was absolutely second to none. I actually had a couple of friends who played in the league of the Premier League who are over with some USL team, and they had recommended me to the owner of FC Arizona, who was of my sort of stature, player, now a coach who could come over, try and make it different. really good challenge. It was a good project. And it was, you know, when I looked at the bigger picture and I looked at the prospect of building special and building it within a city and, you know, with good people, it was just a no-brainer for me. And, you know, I'm absolutely delighted to be here and finding the ground and putting plans in place. Really looking forward to the PSL season.
Absolutely. Wonderful. I know we're having some difficulties with the connection, but I know you're there and everything. And obviously, you know, a lot of talented players in this conference do come from Southern California, but what is the player pool like in Arizona, and where in Arizona does the club reside in?
Yeah, but we're based, you know, all around Arizona. We're based around Chandler, Gilbert, you know, around Mesa, Scottsdale. We've got a really good, a good broad horizon of who are based all around Arizona. But I've been pleasantly surprised, Daniel, with the talent that is in this in this state. Really good players. Players that have maybe lost their way over the last couple of years have not been given, you know, an opportunity at different clubs for one reason or another. But myself and our new owner, Jamie, we're both on the stage, both believe in a community-based club with real culture, real value, and a real, you know, development program where we can dig into our club players and actually, you know,
I think we're still having some issues with the connection, and we just lost him, so hopefully he'll call back, and hopefully Mr. Rogers will call back. I know we're having some difficulty with the connection, and hopefully he'll call back and come back in here. So, you know, once again, there's talent all over this country. There's talent all over our nation. That, you know, I've always said this. I always believe in the American player. We have talented players here playing for, you know, all these clubs, no matter what level it is. And we have Mr. Rogers back on. And, Dave, as you were trying to say before, you were very, very excited about seeing all the talented players in the Chandler area and all throughout the state of Arizona. I think we're still having some issues here.
Can you hear me?
Ooh. Yeah, I hear you now. Go ahead. Whoop, now I lost him again. That's okay. We're going to try again, and hopefully, and it is a European phone number. Unfortunately, I wish I can have Skype, but I need the Skype to connect to the switchboard. So hopefully, we can get to a U.S. landline if it's possible, and we'll have some more conversation. But once again, like I've said, I've always believed that we have talented players in this country. I've always believed that, you know, no matter what level you're at, that you will always make it big time, you know, in this situation. So once again, you know, if you've got talented players in New Jersey, you've got talented players in the state of Washington. If you have talented players in the state of Florida, we have talented players in the state of California, in the state of Texas, Arizona, Missouri, Michigan, New York, Pennsylvania. I always felt that we have talented players in this country that do well. And this is a man that absolutely likes to find these types of players, especially in Arizona. I think we have you back on. Please continue on.
Yeah, I've always been, you know, the type of person and the type of coach that loves give opportunities to play, you know, your standards to try and develop a way. It doesn't matter what age, you know, everybody deserves a chance. You know, when developing this, and for me, there's far too much emphasis on this winnable cost mentality. And seeing the way we do at Liverpool, we're broader my horizon on playing tournaments. And, you know, like you said, not just in the NPSL, but in Arizona, in the whole of the USA, there's a lot of such talented and hopefully something else. You know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to reach out and really, really be open-minded and, you know, equal opportunity to give people an opportunity to come and play.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. God give those players an opportunity to show what they can do and hopefully one day make it for our U.S. men's national team and stride. How many years have you been living here in the States and at the same time, you know, being a part of a wonderful community like Liverpool in England? Do you see any similarities or differences between what you've seen in Chandler and with Liverpool?
Well, it's completely different, Daniel. And the reason why is that obviously in the USA you've got the pay to play model. In Europe and in the UK we don't have that system. But I also feel that in the USA the infrastructure, the facilities, you know, the vision is second to none. And I know a lot of clubs back in the UK will be crying out for some of the facilities that I see while I've been in the USA. I was lucky enough to spend about 6 months in Salt Lake City. So I've had first-hand experience on how the system works, you know, booking a lot of MLS games, a lot of USL games, seeing my first year of NPSL games as well. For me, there's so much availability for players. They just need to be given a chance. They need to be given an opportunity. And I just feel that there is definitely a lot of talented coaches, a lot of soccer clubs who are really striving and working hard on a daily basis to try and provide, you know, the sort of platform for the local players to go and, you know, express themselves.
Absolutely. And, you know, why not have a man that has been a part of Liverpool for so long to give these players an opportunity here for FC Arizona? Now, obviously, you know, we've seen, you know, many times the FA Cup here in the States, whether it be on television or through the streaming platforms. You've probably been through a lot of FA Cup challenges yourself. What does it mean for you to see this club qualify for the U.S. Open Cup this year? And, you know, you're going to have yourself a very, very interesting first-round matchup as FC Arizona, trying to get my notes here, you are going to take on, and you'll be on the road against FC Golden State Force of USL League 2. What's that feeling going to be like for your players and even for yourself? Because, once again, while there is magic in the FA Cup, here in the States, we have our magical U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah, listen, the players last season at FC Arizona were absolutely fantastic. While I was waiting for my visa to come through, I was actually watching the last game of the season, which we ended up losing 2-1. But the boys, you know, to finish second in the table and just miss out at the last minute, you know, still go on and qualify for the U.S. Cup, is a real testament to the boys, because since I've been working with them, you know, every training session, they've been first class, their attitude, they want to get better, they want to keep progressing, they want to keep developing. And it's music to my ears, Daniel, when I'm coaching the boys every day, you know, with my technical staff. Like I said, we're really excited. We'll give every team that we come up against the utmost respect. But at the same time, we'll not fear any team that we play against. I've made it clear to the boys that to go out and just express themselves in every game, take one game at a time, and let's see where it takes us this season. We're always looking to make progress. And for me, progress is just the boys enjoying themselves when we train, going out to the different games and the grounds that we're going to play and the teams we play against, and really just, you know, having no fear, having the belief and having the confidence to just go and enjoy each and every game that we play. Delighted to be playing against the USL League 2 team. again, it's great for the boys. It's a great incentive. Like I said, we won't look any further than the next game that we play. And at the minute, we're preparing and we're ready to go and play a fantastic game on Saturday away to Temecula FC.
That's going to be great. I know you guys cannot wait to get that season started. I know you're itching to get on that pitch and having some fun, having a little get-together and kick around that football. So, Dave, listen, I know you're a busy man. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Good luck with the season, and good luck with the U.S. Open Cup for the boys. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Daniel, thank you very much, and best of luck to everybody and the whole of the USA for the soccer. And my pleasure, and we'll keep in touch. Speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's Dave Rogers, head coach, first team manager of FC Arizona in the National Premier Soccer League. So, first show under the books, the standalone National Premier Soccer League show. Very happy to have everyone on the show here. And, once again, first time for everything. I had a little bit of a difficulty with the phone call situation with Mr. Rogers, but that's okay. That's quite all right. I wanted to give him the opportunity to talk about his club, talk about their opportunity in the U.S. Open Cup. And I really hope that all of you that do follow this league, that you've enjoyed the show. Once again, it's only the first one. We'll have some more somewhere down the road, and hopefully we'll have some fun. Now, don't forget, if you are a dedicated listener to the Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, right now at 10 o'clock tonight through Fox Sports, tonight Fox Sports 2 and Fox Soccer Plus, CONCACAF Champions League will begin tonight. It is the round of 16 going forward. And for those clubs in Major League Soccer tonight at 10 o'clock on Fox Soccer Plus, Motagua of Honduras will be hosting Atlanta United. And then Club Leon will be hosting LAFC, and that will be on Fox Sports 2. Both matches will be on tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. On Wednesday, February the 19th, Deportivo Saprissa will be hosting the Montreal Impact. That will be on Fox Sports 2. And then on Thursday night, New York City FC will travel to Costa Rica to take on San Carlo. That'll be on Fox Sports 2. And then Olympia of Honduras will be taking on the Seattle Sounders, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Pacific. That will also be on Fox Sports 2. So it should be a lot of fun tonight. And then we'll review all these games this coming Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, CONCACAF Champions League Round of 16 First Leg Review Show, here on the 4 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. But I want to thank my guests for tonight once again. I want to thank Mr. Brandon Jantz of Temecula FC. I also want to thank Mr. Rob Lopez from Club Xolos USA Under 23s. And, of course, Mr. Dave Rogers from FC Arizona for joining me tonight. My name is Daniel Feuerstein, and welcome to all of you who support the NPSL. Welcome to the MPSL Soccer Show, episode number one. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you very much for listening. As always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night. Take care. And talk to you next time. Bye-bye for now.